The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madi Channel, welcome to another silsila of Path to Success. Our topic today is Advise Me. So inshallah azawajal, the Muballigins inshallah azawajal, they will be coming with their pieces of advice. And inshallah you get ready to listen to these pieces of advice. Because these advice are those things, alhamdulillah, which each and every one of us benefit. Advice coming from scholars, advice coming from the Quran and Hadith. Inshallah, these things will be shared on our silsila today. So be ready to take some of these pieces of advice, inshallah, and gain its blessings, inshallah. Because who knows which advice might change our life. Inshallah, we will start by reciting salutation, peace and blessings upon the best of mankind, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And you can say this is an advice, a saying of Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. She states that adore your gatherings by reciting salat upon the greatest prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni channel, so whenever we gather, adore them gatherings by reciting peace and blessings upon the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah as well you'll find blessings in that gathering, and inshallah this will be connect, you'll connect yourself with the best of mankind, the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, by doing this. Whether you gather amongst your family members, whether you gather amongst your friends, whether you gather in the masjid, whether you gather in a form of a meeting, somewhere or another, start by reciting peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, you'll find blessings in that gathering, inshallah. So today, our topic, advise me. Inshallah, before we talk about our topic, alhamdulillah, we are blessed to have great Muballigins who are going to be giving advice. We have Ustad Qamar Madani with us, inshallah, today. We have Waseem Bhai with us. And we have, inshallah, Hamid Raza will be reading Kalams, inshallah. And also Shahid Bhai with us, inshallah. So these great Muballigs, inshallah, we'll be listening from advice from all of them. And inshallah, before we talk about our topic, before we go on to our topic, let's start by listening to the recitation of the Holy Quran and praise upon the best of mankind, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر. فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم صلى الله عليك يا رسول
चलाते
MashaAllah, our topic today, advise me. Now, it's important to know that who, first of all, we are taking advice from. Because sometimes people just go and take advice from anyone and thinking that that person, the advice that person is giving is right as well. Alhamdulillah, we should, first of all, we should be turning and taking advice, especially when it's related to our deen, from the scholars of the deen. And from the ulama ikram, from the muftiyan ikram. Inshallah, you'll find the advice which they will give, it'll be the correct advice and the advice which will benefit us. But if it's advice related to other things, for example, medicine, then it's the right person to go to would be a doctor or someone who has studied medicine. If someone is ill, then he will approach a doctor. He wouldn't go to a normal person and say, I've got this illness, advise me which medicine to take. And that person, he's not a doctor as well. And he just advises whatever he wants to advise, and the person goes and takes medicine. This can be harmful and this can be dangerous. Also, the person who's giving the advice, this is another important thing as well. If someone asks you for advice and you don't know what advice to give, at that time it is best to remain quiet, to remain silent, or just say, I do not know, simple as. And you will find some of the great scholars of Islam, people like the great Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At one occasion, Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was asked a question, someone who traveled from a distance came and asked Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu a few questions. Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he replied to him, I do not know. The man turned around and he said, that what will I go back to my people and say? Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, great personality. He said, just go and tell them Malik did not know. This was the greatness of these great personalities. So my dear Islamic brothers and viewers, if you do not know an answer to something, then it's pointless giving an advice. And at that time, it is better to remain silent as well. So our topic today regarding advise me. And inshallah, azawajal, we will start from Qamar Madani. As alhamdulillah, he's also a scholar. And inshallah, azawajal, the advice coming from a scholar has his own beauty, inshallah, azawajal. And just, you know, in the environment of Dawat Islami, when we say Madani, This is a title which is given to a scholar who has studied and became a scholar in Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah. And Qamar Madani sahab, alhamdulillah, he studied, alhamdulillah, many years and he became a scholar, alhamdulillah. So the advice coming from a teacher also, inshallah, as well, will be very beneficial, inshallah. We will start by Qamar Madani, inshallah.
Abdul Hanan bhai, the topic is a topic which we can talk about in different aspects, and mashallah, the brothers who are present here, everyone will give their will contribute to this topic. When we talk about advice, generally speaking, the best advice is the advice of the Quran and Sunnah, and I had no real order of what I was going to talk about, but I think I'll start with a warning. Because deeds begin with intentions. And this is what we remind our brothers of, the viewers of, those who listen to the speeches, that niyatul mu'mini khayru min amali. We quote this a lot. The intention of the believer is better than his action. Remember here, what we intend is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we believe. We may hide our true intentions from each other, we may have some hidden motives, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly why we are performing the action or why we intend to perform a certain action. And in this aspect, we have the evil of oneself, or the evil one is affected by personally, and the evil whispers of shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specifically mentioned the devil, saying, "Inna shaytana lakum aduun fattakhizuhu aduwa." That indeed Satan is your enemy, so treat him as an enemy. So two aspects here. One, the declaration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is your enemy, your arch enemy. So never believe that advice coming from a satanic source will be beneficial to you. It will never be beneficial to you. And the second thing, you treat an enemy the way he should be treated. An enemy is not trusted because he wants loss for you. He wants to destroy you in some way, or he wants you to face harm or affliction or suffering in any kind of way. So shaitan, if we keep this in mind, any kind of evil thought, evil element which affects our intention, this is something we should seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all these things. And I'd like to narrate a short story about this, about how intentions can affect people. And the story which is narrated is about two brothers. One was a devout worshipper, an abid, and the second one was a fasiq, an evil doer. And they both lived in a building where one was on the high level or above, and the other one, the one who was considered to be a fasiq or an evildoer, he was on the lower level, and obviously there were stairs between them. The abid or the devout worshipper had worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 40 years. And he had this hidden... He had an interest, or it was a feeling, an inclination. He wanted to see shaitan. This is something we should not be inclined to. For some reason, he just had this inclination. And as a test, the devil came to him in human form. And obviously, being shaitan, being the devil, and hundreds of years of experience, what would you expect from him? He said to him, look at you, you've lived 40 years of your life worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, what have you achieved? You've lived half your life. Now this was a trick from shaitan. He said, you've lived half your life already. Why don't you enjoy some of your life? And then when the time comes, or at a particular time, you can repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will forgive you. Allah is oft forgiving, Allah is merciful, Allah will forgive your sins. And he said something along these lines, and the devout worshipper was affected by these thoughts, and he actually made a firm intention. The word used in the narration is azm. And azm is a firm intention. When it's defined, the scholars say that when you make such an intention, it means that you will carry it out no matter what. And there is not even a weak element that deters you. No fear or anything. You know, I'm just going to do it, whatever happens. So that's the azm. The narrations which mention ham, that is more of a general intention. You make a thought comes to mind, and then you make a kind of an intention, but it's not as firm. This is a firm intention. So his firm intention was what, Abdul Hanan? But he said, he made this firm intention that since I have half of my life left, that means I've got 40 years left, 20 years I'll just enjoy life, I'll follow my desires, and I'll do whatever I want to do, or whatever my desires take me towards, any actions, I'll just completely enjoy the life of this world, and the remaining 20 years I will repent. And I will seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I'll make up for the 20 years of disobedience. So this was his firm intention. On the other hand, the other brother, he was sitting wherever he was in his residence, and he thought his conscience woke him up from this sleep of heedlessness that he was in. And he said to himself, look at you. Your brother is a devout worshipper. He will go to paradise. Allah. And you will go to hell. Look at what you've done. And he said to himself, I should go to him and repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sit in his company, and my remaining days are spent in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps Allah will forgive me. Allah. So that's his firm intention. So the brother above, who was a devout worshipper, he starts coming down the stairs with this intention of 20 years of disobedience and then 20 years of repentance. And the other brother, he starts ascending the stairs with the intention of repentance and sincerity, and that he will seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them slips and they both fall.
Allah.
And they fall to their deaths.
Allahu.
They die on the spot.
Allah.
The narration says that the worshipper will be raised on his intention of sin, disobedience, and the one who was disobedient, he shall be raised and called to account according to his intention of repentance. So a few things very quickly, and you brothers might want to comment on it in your own way. Look at the trickery of shaitan. Someone for 40 years who's lived a devout life, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within a few moments, a few words, makes him change his intention, and he dies with a bad intention or with an evil intention. Shaitan lied to him as well. He said, you've got half your life left. Where's that half life gone? So this is another thing. And the life of this world and this world itself is, one cannot have hope in something which is not guaranteed. We do not know if tomorrow we will live. And especially in this pandemic, there are young people who are dying also. So this whole hope that, oh, when I am a little older, in a few years' time, maybe in a few months' time, this is deception. We're deceiving ourselves. The other point being that look at the sincerity of that of the other brother who had spent his life in disobedience. But when he went to, when he returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his pure intention led to a salvation for him. So it's never too late. Those who think that we've disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, there is no way for us whatsoever. This story is also a reminder that you make the intention, you take the step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you.
MashaAllah, my Islam brothers and dear viewers, beautiful piece of advice from Qamar Madani. Alhamdulillah, I think, you know, when Qamar Bhai started at the start with the intention, it was like he was advising me. That's how I was feeling. Because it's a thing, sometimes we forget to make intentions. And this type of advice is something which needs to be constantly reminding each other. Why? Because we do so many actions, yet we fail to make an intention of it. And we do so much good actions and we don't make an intention. Then the action, there is no reward gained from that action. So, alhamdulillah, this advice of making intentions. And the other piece of advice Qamar Bhai gave was that taking advice from satanic ways. This is very, very strong point, really. And it's something which we should be reflecting and looking upon. Today, people take advice from anywhere. And just they will just search on the net, try to find advice. We don't know where the advice is coming from. Who's the person on the other side of the net giving the advice? It could be a trap, and it could be leading us away from our deen and away from the straight path. So, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, do not blindly take advice. Take advice from the righteous. Take advice from the pious. And inshallah, you will benefit from this. There's one thing which I was reading today, and it's an advice for all of us on this panel today, the Muballigheen, including myself here. And it's something which was very beautiful. It's mentioned in the narration, the advice of the one stomach is full has no effect on others. So the advice of the one whose stomach is full has no effect on others. And when he is given advice, his mind refuses to accept. So this is for both. You know, the person who is giving advice, if his stomach is full, then his advice won't have an effect. And if his stomach is full, then if someone else is giving advice to him, it won't have an effect on his mind either. He will refuse it. So, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, you know, so much can be related to advice and advising of ourselves and taking advice. There's so many things. Inshallah, we will turn to Waseem Bhai. Inshallah, we will see what Waseem Bhai has got to advise us with and the views of Madni Channel. Inshallah.
Ji, Waseem Bhai. You know, the narration that you just mentioned, we will ask you what you've eaten, and I'm sure you will ask us what we've eaten today as well. But in regards to advice of the Hanan Bhai, it's something that is constantly required. You know, throughout your life, either you're giving advice or majority of the time you are receiving advice from other people. And this is something that is constantly required. If you look at professionals as well, or even if you look at a child is in need of advice from his parents of what to do, what's right, what's wrong. But at the same time, the parents are in need of advice of how to upbring their child. If you look at a company, a boss is in need of advice tutorial of how to make the employees work, but at the same time, the employees are also in required of advice to how to do the work. So this is something that is constantly required in life. But Abdul, the point that I would like to start with is, how do we give advice and how do we take advice? This is very important that today, you know, every second person is giving advice. But what's the right way of giving advice? And then especially if someone is giving us advice, what's the right way to take the advice on board? Now, first of all, like mashallah, very beautifully our Kamarbhai mentioned this as well, that in regards to advice, when we are giving advice or when we are receiving advice, one major factor we need to look at is this advice in the boundaries of Sharia? If it's not in the boundaries of Sharia, we should not give the advice. And if it's been given to us, then we must not take the advice on board. So this is the first important point. But especially when we are giving advice, one important factor is when you are giving advice to someone, try to make sure there's some justification behind it. Now what happens is today, a parent is explaining to his child, don't do this. Child's thinking to himself, why should I not do this? What's the reason? But if the parents explain to the child that, look, don't do this for these reasons, now inshallah the child will implement that in his life because he's got a full justification behind it. Now, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one individual came, Ya Rasulullah, give me ijazat to commit adultery. Now, what would a normal person say? But alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the leel. Look, if someone did this with your mother, how would you feel? If someone did this with your daughter, how would you feel? If someone did this with your auntie, how would you feel? Meaning, he gave a whole justification behind it and the person accepted it then. So this is an important thing that especially when we are giving advice, give some justification behind it. Tell the person why.
And you see, it's like, you know, sometimes a father is giving advice to the son, don't smoke. And he's puffing away himself, and at the same time he's telling his son, yes, it makes sense.
Definitely. So a justification is very important when you're giving advice. Then at the second point, that when you give advice, use your experience as well. Because you know, when you tell, for example, a parent explain to the child, when you use your own experience, that look, this is what I did in life, this is where I went wrong, I don't want you to do this. But if you're just going to tell the child, look, don't do this, he's going to do it. But if you give him a justification behind it, inshallah, he will implement that in his life. Now, Abdul-Hanan, by the other point, now the dangerous aspect, receiving advice. You know, that's something that people don't want. People don't want to receive advice from other people. Now, as soon as someone gives you advice, again, coming back to the point, if it's in the boundaries of Sharia, Medina, look if it's right for you or if it's wrong for you. And then the other point is when someone's giving you advice, listen to it. What normally happens is someone's giving us a piece of advice, you know, because in other words, it's constructive criticism, we don't want to accept it. But at the end of the day, he's telling us something good. Listen to it, don't argue. If you think it's right for you, implement it. If you think it's not right for you, leave it and continue with your life, inshallah. And the other point is, pause and think to yourself, this advice this person is giving me, is it beneficial for me in the long run? And who is giving this advice? Because it's now a child who's 18, 19 years old, a father is giving him advice. Now at that age, the child is thinking, you know, what does my dad know? He's lived the whole life, he's lived back home, he doesn't know this country. But at the end of the day, he's got a full experience behind him. So definitely when someone gives you advice according to the Sharia, which is in the boundaries of Sharia, try to take it on board, inshallah, and implement in your life, inshallah.
MashaAllah, Waseem bhai covered so many things about giving advice, taking advice, and it's something which we all need to reflect on. And sadly, when someone is giving advice today, if even when there's a bayan, a speech being delivered, the person thinks, oh, this is not about me. It seems like it's in his mind that talking about so and so. Oh, this is regarding so and so. Oh, he's trying to advise this person. And sadly, we don't think that this advice which this muballigh, the preacher, is giving, this could be related to me. Sadly, our mindset at that time is wondering elsewhere. Is it advising this person? I'm sure he's advising this person. The reality is, when advice like this is given, it's for all of us. And we should take advice coming like this from Muballigins. And Alhamdulillah, Madani channel is a beautiful way of taking advice. Alhamdulillah, Madani channel 24 hours, Alhamdulillah, is giving advice to us. So try to take in this advice and change yourselves and make yourselves better, inshallah. Inshallah, we also have Shahid bhai with us as well, inshallah. We see what Shahid bhai is going to advise us today, inshallah. Ji, Shahid bhai.
Beautiful. Madani prayers on this. People seek advice for different reasons and in different aspects. Some people will ask for advice just to test what opinion they're going to get from a person. Some people will ask advice from people who have experience in life. And because of the experience, they want to gain benefit from that advice. Some people will ask for advice due to their knowledge, whether it's worldly knowledge or religious knowledge. They will ask advice. But how much they will act upon that is a different matter altogether. Now, when you give advice to somebody, somebody may think, well, I know this person is going to say something on this level, and I knew this. Just wanted to test the, you know, aspect what they were going to really say. So, just to try to figure out what the person is saying, that's what some people will go down. And they may not take on board. If you look at in the past, whether it's ministers, whether it's kings, or whoever they are in the past, generations gone, people succeeded by having advice from one another. Because without having advice, it's difficult to succeed. Once there was a king, and he asked his one of his servants, he says, give me some piece of advice.
Allah.
Give me some advice that, if you know, which will keep me alert on things. This servant is a very wise person. So he, what he did for the king, he made a note for him, and he wrote down that the time will pass.
No.
The king will look at the note. When he's happy, he will look at it, and he will look at, well, this happiness is only a temporary period, and the advice which my servant gave me is beautiful, but it's only temporary. It's not going to be here forever. So his happiness will, you know, fade away, and he won't be happy all the time because he knows it's on a temporary basis. Likewise, when he's upset about something, he will read that again, and he will think, this is only, you know, problem is on a temporary basis, and it'll go away. Like this, that advice which that servant gave to the king, it benefited the king because he knew that whatever circumstance he's in, it's on a temporary basis. Likewise, when we advise people in any aspect, whether it's for the worldly gain or whether it's for unreligious, people need to understand that the advice they're receiving and who they're receiving advice from. If somebody who's, you know, wants advice on religion, they need to go to the scholars, they need to go to, you know, Mufti Ikram, who have that knowledge. They can't go to anybody, for example, Sheikh Google, should I use the verb, I mean, you know, going and speaking to anybody on the net. They don't know who's behind it. And obtaining their advice, it may not be beneficial for them. In fact, it may be leading completely on the other aspect. Whereas face-to-face advice is the best way a person can seek advice in whichever aspect they go on.
So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, so today our topic, Advise Me, and we've taken Madani Pools from the Mubaligheens. Inshallah, we will take a lot more Madani Pools. Advise Me. Ji Kamar Bhai, this, you know, the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many advices have come from them in different ways. Then we've got advice from the Quran, we've got advice from the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Basically, we have been given advice after advice after advice.
Even specifically, where our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified actions as advice, there are many Hadith narrations like that. So you could actually potentially have so many sessions on just this particular topic, going through the prophetic traditions in which our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically advised certain actions. And subhanallah, some of those narrations, the way the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum would describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would say, you know, our khalili, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our close friend, habibi, our beloved, my beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then they would mention the advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. There's a hadith in Ibn Majah where our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the part of the hadith where he says that never abandon the prescribed prayer deliberately, because this is another fitna that we're facing this time. People don't think, they don't have a sense of concern or responsibility when it comes to their five daily prayers, an obligation upon them. It's good saying, going to the Mawlana and asking, what can I read? What can I read? I have this problem, I have that problem. But anyone who is ever in that situation, the first question you should ask yourself is, am I praying? And if you are praying, usually it doesn't you don't resort to that. Usually you find something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a means for you. But if most people, it seems from experience, who have concern about any problem they're facing, any trial that they're facing, the first question that they should ask themselves, and we usually know the answer, unfortunately we know the answer in most cases, are you praying 5 times a day? Are you praying 5 times a day with punctuality? And usually it's a no. So all these invocations to maximize the benefit of what you read, these benefits are truly unlocked when they are in addition to what's an obligation upon you. So if someone isn't praying 5 times a day and he wants to read a certain dua or a certain invocation and he expects immediate results, this is not recommended, there's no guarantee for him. These scholars have specified first the obligations without saying that is a given. You have to perform your obligatory prayers and all these things are in addition. So coming back to that hadith of Ibn Majah, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified, he said, don't miss the prescribed prayers deliberately. Whoever misses these prayers deliberately, he loses the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something which people worry about. And then towards the end, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not consume, do not drink wine. And he gave the reason for that. He said, because it is the key, miftahu kulli shar, it's the key of every evil. So intoxicants, drinking alcohol, drinking wine, it leads to so many other sins. It's such a bad, the whole alcohol itself, buying it, selling it, being near it. Okay. Yes, being in the presence or in the company of someone who's consuming alcohol, carrying alcohol, facilitating the selling of alcohol, facilitating the buying of alcohol, any kind of link to that alcohol, all these elements are negative in the Sharia. All these elements are undesirable in the Sharia, minimum undesirable in the Sharia. And we are living in a world, unfortunately, some of us are having to witness situations where Muslim people are not only consuming wine, alcohol, intoxicants, they're doing it with pride and they're doing it without any remorse. They don't even think of it. Just as they miss their 5 daily prayers and they lose the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they open the door of evils through these intoxicants, because our Prophet told us it's the key of every evil. So when people are complaining about the problems and tribulations that they face, it's usually one or the other. So advice from these prophetic traditions is that we hold on to our prayers. It's not only our young people. All Muslims should absolutely not just refrain from wine, alcohol, intoxicants. They should have nothing to do with this, and they should express their disaffiliation from anything that is linked to these things. So we're not even talking about people who decide to maintain friendships with those who are consuming, who are drinking alcohol and saying, oh, I can't break my ties with him. We're not even going that far. We're generally speaking that if we don't take these matters seriously, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has specified these matters. If we're not taking the prayer seriously, if we're not taking refraining from things like alcohol, wine, intoxicants seriously, then what kind of benefit are we waiting for? What other advice are we waiting for that will help us? Following these fundamental things in Islam will lead to our salvation and will ensure many problems and many evils go away.
I just had one question. A lot of people ask this question today as well, especially the youngsters. That look, alcohol, yes, this is in the Quran, this is in the Hadith, this is okay, yes. But drugs, you know, these kind of things that we do today, this wasn't mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, you know, and this is their justification that maybe we can do it for this reason. So as we are on this platform, just this question to you, that can people smoke drugs, or is this haram, or what do you think?
I'll say more about that with an example as well. When you think about the prohibition of alcohol, and you go and you consider the verses that are mentioned in the Quran, obviously it was done in phases. It was specifically mentioned not to go towards the prayer in a state of intoxication. Why? Because people will, because it clouds their judgment. Now, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to work out that the very thing which is found in the wine or the intoxicant or the alcohol is one of those very traits, or one of those very things, elements, is found in drug use as well. Someone who is using drugs, he is not in control of, at times not in control of his judgment, his perception, let alone being able to fulfill rights or being able to be present, have a sense of presence in terms of his mind. Someone who is not able to maintain his sense of presence cannot even fulfill the basic necessities of the religion. That's one of the fundamental reasons why these things are mentioned. The other thing is, this is a very strange habit that people have, where they say, oh, it's not written in the Quran, or show me that hadith which mentions that. And this is why it's important to go to a scholar or someone for confirmation. Now, the Quran says, don't say uff to your parents. What does that mean? So does that mean that you don't say uff, but you say anything else to them? The whole purpose is that don't say uff to your parents, meaning uff, that kind of expression of uff. That in itself is not directly a curse or a verbal expression of you know, some kind of swearing or some kind of bad language in some way. It's just a kind of expression of being frustrated at most. But the Quran, Allah is commanding us, don't even do that. So if you can't even say uff, if you can't even express that little discomfort when it comes to your parents, what do you think about slamming the doors and punching the wall and shouting back at them? So someone's going to say to us tomorrow, where does it say in the Quran, astaghfirullah? This is the kind of mental, I mean, sometimes we have to say it like that to state the obvious. But when it comes to Sharia, our Sharia has given us principles. Based on those principles, we have what is permissible, what is not permissible. And if we're unsure about something, you always ask those who have knowledge and they will clarify, inshallah.
MashaAllah, beautiful Madani pools by Qamar Bhai, alhamdulillah. Regarding the way Qamar Bhai put that forward, the advice of these things as well. And for the viewers, those who are involved in intoxication, any type of intoxication, advice is stay away, stay far away from it. And once you connect yourself to this, it's hard to keep away. And once you connect yourself, you'll involve yourself in it. Before you know it, it'll be too late. And sometimes these are those things which it's hard to turn back to. Inshallah, we will go to our package. Inshallah, we'll take our package. And then inshallah, we'll continue our topic, inshallah. Ji.
Woh ek shikayat arz karta hoon. अब हो सकता है वो किसी ने बनाई हो, ये वाकई ऐसा ना हुआ हो, लेकिन बहुत सबक काम हो सके. किसी ने एक तोता पाला था और तोते को कलेमा उसने रटाया था. अब जब देखो ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह मुहम्मदुर रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु तआला अलैहि वसल्लम पढ़ता था, एक बार उस पर बिल्ली झपटी और बिल्ली ने उसको नोच लिया और खा लिया. इसका जो मालिक था तोते का, वो रोने लगा. तो लोगों ने उसको सब्र की तलकीन की और कहा कि आप घबराते क्यों, आप सब्र रखें ना, चलो हम आपको तोता और ला के देते हैं. तो उन्होंने कहा कि मैं तोते की मौत पर नहीं रो रहा, मुझे तो ये बात रुला रही है कि ये जब मैं आता था कलमा सुनाता था, मुझे कलमा पढ़ता रहता था, लेकिन जब बिल्ली इस पर झपटी तो टाएं टाएं करने लगा, कलमा भूल गया. तो बस मुझे इस खौफ ने रुला दिया कि मैं भी कलमा तो पढ़ता रहता हूँ, लेकिन कहीं आखिरी वक्त तक कलमा भूल गया तो मैं. ये वाकई बड़ा मतलब ना सोचने का मकाम है कि ऐसा ना हो कि हम भी आखिरी वक्त कुछ ना हो जाए. अल्लाह करे आखिरी वक्त में कलमा याद आ जाए.
माशाल्लाह, व्हाट कैन वी से एडवाइज बाय अवर शेख ए तरीकत अमीर ए सुन्नत द फाउंडर ऑफ दावत इस्लामी हजरत अबू बिलाल मोहम्मद इलियास कादरी दामत बरकात मुराद गया. ट्रूली the pieces of advice we get from Amil-e Sunnat Damat Barakatuhum Al-Ali are unique. And even just look at how Amil-e Sunnat, he advises people in different ways on different things. And sometimes we feel that, oh, our concentration didn't go towards that. I remember not long ago, Wasim Bhai, Amil-e Sunnat Damat Barakatuhum Al-Ali, he advised on wearing helmet. You know, those who are riding a motorbike, advising them to wear helmets. Why? Because there's so many people who are losing their lives when they were going on a motorbike, they were involved in accident, and they were losing their lives because the place which was getting damaged was their brain or their head. And this was causing their lives to be taken. And Amil-e Sunnat Damat Barakatuhum Al-Ali, caring for the Ummah, concerning for the Muslims, he advised the people, and even Markazi Majlis Ashura, and the brothers of the Muballigheen of Dawat Islami, Amil-e Sunnat Damat Barakatuhum Al-Ali, he clearly advised them, everyone should be wearing a helmet. And these type of advices, my dear Islami brothers, Amil-e Sunnat Damat, where sometimes you look that the advice might seem very small, but it might be so beneficial that Alhamdulillah, it had saved one's life. And these types of advices, Alhamdulillah, you'll find on Madani channel. Continue listening to the advices of the pious people of Allah, and the advice from our Shaykh Tariqat Wasim Bhai is unique in our time.
MashaAllah. And you know the parable that Amir al-Sunnat is mentioning, amazing, MashaAllah, about the Kalma Sharif. And it just shows you as well that look, today we read the Kalma Sharif. May Allah give us the ability that when that difficult time comes, when our soul is leaving our body, at that time we are able to read the Kalma. But one point that I'd like to mention here, Abdul Hanan Bhai, is in regards to the zikr of Allah. This is something that we should be constantly doing. As it was mentioned that one individual, one pious person of Allah, he gave a famous saying, which is famous today as well. And he mentioned that, look, keep reciting the Kalma, because today it is easy for you to recite the Kalma, but there's a time that's going to come upon you, that difficult time. And Haji Abdul Habib Atari, mashallah, he mentioned something beautiful here. He goes, look, inshallah, make your habit to keep reading the Kalma. Because when something is constantly recited, inshallah, azawajal, we hope that because of this constant reciting, when that difficult time comes, inshallah, we will read the Kalma Sharif at that time. So the zikr of Allah, today, you know, people are saying, you know, brother, there's no sukoon in my life. There's no peace in my life. One simple Quranic verse, Allah azawajal mentions, only in the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find peace. It's simple as that. You want peace today, inshallah, azawajal, turn to the zikr of Allah. Do the zikr of Allah, azawajal. Inshallah, azawajal, you will find peace. Today, Abdul Hanan Bhai, what's happening is, there is so many people that are complaining, no peace in my life. You know, if you look at the suicide rate, one every 40 seconds, someone is committing suicide out there. But look, if you do the zikr of Allah, azawajal, this will give you peace. No matter if you've got difficulties at home, you've got difficulties with the business, you've got difficulties with the kids. Do the zikr of Allah azawajal. This will be a form of you obtaining peace, inshallah azawajal. And you know, some people, they say that, you know, zikr of Allah, this is only Allahu Allah. Yes, this is one form of zikr. But in regards to zikr of Allah, there's three types. The first is the zikr of the tongue. This is where, alhamdulillah, like now we are delivering this small speech, we are talking about good. This is also a form of zikr. You talking about good, advising something good, this is also a form of zikr. The second form of zikr is the zikr of your body. Now, for example, you are reading your namaz. That's also a form of zikr. And finally, is a zikr of the heart. You're contemplating upon something good. For example, the ulama, the scholars, they're contemplating upon a hadith, a narration. This is also a form of zikr. And one final point that I would like to mention in related to the zikr of Allah, we have so many opportunities today to do the zikr of Allah. I'll give you a few examples. You're driving, and now a red light. Traffic lights turn red. You're there for 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 40 seconds. At that time, if you have a tasbih, recite Kalma Sharif 5 times, recite Kalma Sharif 10 times, you waiting at the traffic light will be a form of reward for you, inshallah, azawajal. Many people who use computers will be watching at this moment in time. When you log on to your PC first thing in the morning, Control-Alt-Delete, you click, and then you log in. Now, what happens is, the software, your Windows is loading at that time. Now, you're waiting for your software to load at that particular time. Do the zikr of Allah. Say subhanallah once, say alhamdulillah once. So meaning that we have many opportunities today that where we can do the zikr of Allah. So inshallah, let's do the zikr of Allah. Let's remind ourselves, inshallah, constantly doing the zikr of Allah, inshallah, by the will of Allah. This will be the means of our salvation, inshallah.
MashaAllah, my dear Islam brothers, viewers of Madi channel, beautiful advice from Wasim Bhai regarding the zikr of Allah. Yes, whenever we have spare time, whenever we are in a position, we are waiting for someone. We're waiting for the lights to change. Alhamdulillah, these are opportunities to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue, busy yourself in the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal. This is the advice, alhamdulillah, from the Muballigh. Alhamdulillah, continue remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always make opportunities or find any time which you have and involve that time in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A great piece of advice I find from a great wali of Allah in many different ways, and there's a collection of advices from Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi. I wanted to share some of these pieces of advice. People came to Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah in different times, and he was a taba tabi'in. He was from the early generation, a great wali of Allah azza wa jal, and someone whose advice was very effective as well. When he gave advice to people, people will go into a state. Once a man came to Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, and he said, Hazur, I have committed many sins. Please advise me how I can turn away from my sin, from sinful, and I repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, he gave many pieces of advice upon this. The first piece of advice Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi says, that when you feel that you are about to commit sin, then stop eating the sustenance of Allah. Now the man was shocked. Now may these Islamic brothers and viewers just focus upon this. Those who are involved in sin today, try to focus upon this, that when we are going to commit a sin, this advice from Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah, that Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah said, stop eating the sustenance provided by Allah. The man turned around and said, Hazur, what kind of advice are you giving me? How is it possible for me to stop eating what the sustenance provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the provider of every sustenance. So how is it possible that I leave the eating the sustenance of Allah? Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, he said to the man, how bad it is that you eat the sustenance of Allah azza wa jal, yet you disobey Him. Like this, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, he continued giving advice to him. He said, leave the land of Allah azza wa jal. When you are about to commit sin, leave the land of Allah azza wa jal. And the man said, how is it possible to leave the land of Allah? Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, he said, how bad it is, you live on the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that land. And another advice, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah, hide yourself in such a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot see you. The man replied, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Samiul Basir. He can see me, He can hear me at every time. How is it possible for me to hide myself and then commit a sin? Then Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham, one of the advices Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah gave is that when the angel of death comes to take your soul, say to him, give me some time. Look at these advices Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah is giving. Give me some time to repent. And the man said, what type of advice are you giving me, Hazur? That how is it that the angel of death will give me time to repent? My souls will be seized. And then Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, he said to him, how, you know, if you know that your time of death is fixed, why don't you take advantage of the time which you have? And then he said, Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi, he gave advice that when the angels come to ask you the question in the grave, Munkar Nakir, say to them, go away from here. Allah. And you know, how is it possible that they will drag him, they will question him no matter what? Then this last piece of advice in Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi gave was that on the day of judgment, when you are ordered to go to the hellfire, refuse to go. The man said, how is it possible? Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah, he concluded all these things that, you know, regarding if you cannot stop eating the sustenance of Allah azza wa jal, if you cannot hide yourself from Allah azza wa jal, if you cannot leave His land, if you cannot stop the angel of death taking your soul, if you cannot able to move Munkar Nakir, or if you cannot refuse yourself from going to the fire of hell, then stop committing sins. Stop committing. That man at that time, he stopped and he repented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the advice given by the pious people of Allah azza wa jal. My dear Islam brothers, this type, try to read these types of advices given by the people of Allah azza wa jal, the pious people of Allah. And inshallah azza wa jal, when we will read about these advices from the pious people, these things will take place in our hearts, inshallah. We will be able to reflect and turn away. So my dear Islam brothers, the views of Madhi channel, many advices have been given upon the pious of people of Allah. Try to read. And Amir-e Sunnat Damat Barakatuhum Alaliya have concluded these pieces of advice in many of his rasayas, many of his booklets. Allah, Kamar Bhai, the request of Naat Sharif,
right now.
Subhanallah, inshallah, we'll get Kamal bhai to read, inshallah.
Just a couple of, inshallah.
Subhanallah.
صلو على الحبيب
صلى الله
جب حسن تھا ان کا جلوہ جمع انوار کا عالم کیا ہوگا جب حسن تھا ان کا جلوہ جمع انوار کا عالم کیا ہوگا ہر کوئی فدا خدمت میں ان کی بو بکر عمر عثمان و علی اس وقت رسول اکرم کے
MashaAllah, it was a request from one of the viewers, Alhamdulillah, and Kamar Bhai fulfilled that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with his voice even more, inshallah. So, my dear sign brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, we're coming to that time, sign language. A lot of people are waiting for this time, every time this silsila takes place. So, inshallah, we will start. To be honest with you, I was given a piece of advice from a brother regarding how to even hold the cards, subhanAllah. So, alhamdulillah, sometimes it's good giving advice in this way as well. Sometimes it's difficult, Vaseem bhai, to take this type of advice. I don't know exactly what he meant, but hello, inshallah, Azwajal. Alhamdulillah. We will start with Kamar bhai, inshallah, Azwajal.
I'm guessing. Oh.
You're going to do the...
Okay.
Inshallah, Vaseem bhai will get, inshallah. Oh, I'm breaking the rules. Normally, Shahid bhai starts, but hello, inshallah. We'll start with Kamar bhai, inshallah. Subhanallah.
Oh, I had that one before. We didn't get the door. Should we start?
Respect. Belongings. Elderly, young.
Allah, Allah. Vaseem bhai needs to be watching more of Kamal bhai silsila.
Humility, repentance, asking for forgiveness, remorse. Being humble, glass, saying Jazakallah, thanking others.
Allah, Allah, coming to the end of time. Vaseem bhai, you needed to be watching some of the paths to success here, where Kamar bhai was doing the sign language. Oh, he's there. You give me one more chance. Just one more guess, inshallah.
Allah Allah Akbar.
Allah.
Being thankful to Allah.
Allah.
Shukr. Being grateful.
Allah Akbar. I'm just gonna finish there. MashaAllah. It was being grateful. Finally got there. The time was over, but
the being part. You can't. It's hard to say being. That's like it's the inshallah.
Allah Akbar. Gee, MashaAllah. Shahid bhai.
Kya baat hai, MashaAllah.
Hamid bhai, you will guess. Shahid bhai will do the sign language, inshallah. Taking you out of the world.
Allah. Gumbad. Gumbad. Dome. Airplane. Place.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
Clothes. Madini Kafla?
Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah.
Going towards Masjid?
Allah.
Going towards Masjid al-Haram? Oh, going wearing ihram.
Allah, subhanallah, mashallah. Hamid bhai is new in the game, but alhamdulillah, he's getting good, mashallah. I think we're going to start bringing harder questions, inshallah. Ji, Wasim bhai, Allahu Akbar. Oh, no, I won't do this one. Wasim bhai, it's his favorite one. Wasim bhai is in the sign, I mean, ji.
Okay.
Hajj, dua, dua of Safar,
Allah,
dua of travel, Allah. Supplication.
Very, very good. Traveler's dua, subhanallah. Ji, Hamid bhai. Quite an easy one. Let's see if Shahid bhai gets there, inshallah.
Thinking.
He's taking him around the block now.
That? That is the second word.
I think he's talking about mental death.
Thinking you're dead.
Thinking you're dead? Allah Akbar.
Thinking of.
Allah Akbar. Ji, Sai bhai.
Thinking of. No, Zaniyaz Maish.
Zaniyaz Maish.
I had the last one.
Allahu Akbar. Ji, Hamid bhai, continue. You'll get there, inshallah.
Thinking. Mental. Brain. Mental. Think. Thinking you're dead. No.
Oh, Shahid bhai, who thinks they are dead?
People are dreaming.
Take care.
So you are close. Close and very close.
Thinking about your death. Pondering on your death.
I think we'll give him otherwise.
Remembering death.
Remembering death, Shahid bhai. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So inshallah, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madi Channel, that was our sign language part. Alhamdulillah. Many things they are advices in this as well. So many things which we can learn just by through sign language, and the pieces of advice which is given on this is to make us think and reflect where our mindset should be thinking of, and the things our mindset should be thinking of. Alhamdulillah, the things which are brought up in sign language here is related to our deen as well. So I want to go to Shahid Bhai, before we go on to another short clip, Shahid Bhai, advice, because you give advice to many people, but sometimes they are either going behind bars or they're getting locked up and you're advising them in that time, or it's been too late and you're advising them. Maybe you can shed some light on that type of advice as well.
Abdul Bhai, giving advice to those kind of people, what happens is a lot depends what company they're with. Sometimes if they're with a company which takes them on the wrong path, they won't care about the advice that you give them. They will still do what they want to do. And they will, knowing the consequences of what's going to happen, they will continue doing what they want to do because they want an easy way to achieve what they want to achieve. Maybe wealth, maybe status, whatever they want. And sometimes people get into a company and they don't realize that they've gone into a particular aspect due to the company they have. And you give them the advice that, listen, the company you have, it's not a good company. And they'll take that on board and then they will refrain from that. So what we need to understand is the company that we associate with, where is that company taking us? If their circle of friends is taking us on the wrong path, then we need to ponder upon, are they our real friends, or are they people who are going to destroy our future? Many times, when you advise people, if they've done something wrong, they'll have this attitude, oh, it's my brethren, the street language they'll use, it's my brethren, he will look after me, you know, I'll do things for him, he does things for me. But in reality, when it comes to the main time, people, your friends, your company doesn't back you up.
Yeah, this is what's happening in society today, Shahid Bhai, is that people are taking advice from their friends, but they're not ready to take advice from their parents. You know, how much does a father have concern for his child? How much a mother has concern for her child? You know, but they are advising. But it's like you find the youth of today, they want to take advice from their friends. Whatever their friends say, they're ready for. When a mother says something, they're not ready to take that advice. The father says, don't be in such company. And it's like it offends that youngster. And he finds it offending that, why is my father advising me not to be in this company? Not realizing the experience of his life, that he's seen that how people are, and the sort of people and the sort of nature of people and their behavior and where it leads them to and how far they go and how far they, where they end up. A lot of these times, alhamdulillah, you find that the parents normally see that they're able to observe people's nature and able to tell that this person might lead my son towards a crime or towards a very bad way, maybe end up in jail as well.
On this one, Abdul Hanabai, there are parents who know that their son in the company he's with is bad company. And they will tell the children that the company, the circle of friends you have is not good for you. I'll give you a particular case that I dealt with some time ago. This young boy, his circle of friends wasn't right. And his father told him many times, the son, I think you need to cut down your, time with these friends. Don't hang around with these friends because they will take you to the wrong path and you will regret it later. And he thought, well, my dad is probably, doesn't know my friends. I know my friends from college and I know what I'm doing with my friends. I'm not going to get in trouble. Unfortunately, they got involved in a crime and they all ended in prison. When they all ended in prison, and that's when he hit that boy, my dad was telling me, right, these friends of mine have got me into prison. It's destroyed my future. It's destroyed my character. But once a person goes to prison, your character is affected. Then once you come out and you apply for any jobs, you disclose that you've been in prison for a particular offense. And very unlikely you'll get a job as well. So it affects a person's whole future. He spent 6 months in prison and he come out. He's cut all ties with old friends, stuck with his dad in work, whatever work his dad was doing. And mashallah, now he's completely changed person. He's got a beard now and doing his namaz, regularly. And everything what his dad advises him. He sticks with the advice what his dad is, because he knows that his dad is there to look after him. He knows that the advice from parents is the best advice he's going to get to save himself from problems.
Mashallah.
And unfortunately, not many people realize that until they don't face that situation.
Mashallah. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Malaysia, yes, the advice coming from your parents, try to listen to this advice. As far as it doesn't go against the Sharia, try to listen to this piece of advice. Whenever your parents are giving you advice, they are always caring about you. They are always thinking about you, thinking the best for you. So try to take this advice. We will take just one package of Haji Abdul Habib Bhai, inshallah, azawajal, and then we will request Hamid Bhai to read an art, inshallah. We'll take this package first, inshallah.
ایک بار خلیفۃ المسلمین امیر المومنین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کی زوجہ محترمہ نے آپ سے عرض کی مجھے کچھ نصیحت فرمائیے. آپ نے فرمایا سنو, جب میں نے دیکھا کہ اس امت کے ہر سرخ و سفید کی ذمہ داری میرے کاندھوں پر ڈال دی گئی ہے, مجھے فوراً دور دراز کے شہروں اور زمین کے اطراف و اکناف میں رہنے والے بھوک کے مارے ہوئے فقیروں, بے سہارا مسافروں, ستم رسیدہ لوگوں اور اس قسم کے دوسرے افراد کا خیال آیا اور میرے دل میں یہ احساس پیدا ہوا کہ قیامت کے دن اللہ عز و جل مجھ سے میری رعایا کے بارے میں باس پرس فرمائے گا اور اللہ تعالیٰ کے پیارے حبیب صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وسلم ان تمام لوگوں کے حق میں میرے خلاف بیان دیں گے. یہ سوچ کر میرے دل پر ایک خوف طاری ہو گیا کہ اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے بارے میں میرا کوئی عذر قبول نہ فرمائے گا. میں اپنے آقا و مولا صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وسلم کو کسی قسم کی صفائی پیش نہ کر سکوں گا. یہ سوچ کر مجھے خود پر بڑا ترس آتا ہے, میری آنکھوں سے آنسوؤں کا سمندر امڈ آتا ہے. اس حقیقت کو میں جتنا یاد کرتا ہوں میرا احساس اتنا ہی بڑھتا جاتا ہے. پھر آپ نے اپنے بچوں کی امی سے مخاطب ہو کر فرمایا, اب آپ کی مرضی ہے اس سے نصیحت حاصل کریں یا نہ کریں.
ماشاءاللہ, بیوٹیفل پیسز آف ایڈوائس فرام حاجی عبد الحبیب بھائی, انشاءاللہ. And we'll take the kalams and then we'll go on to this advice from Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak, inshallah. Ji Hamid bhai, inshallah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Chamak tujhse paate hain sab paane wale, chamak tujhse
advice. Kamar Bhai, the reason I wanted to mention this was, it's quite a powerful piece of advice. The reason being is Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he's narrated that a wise man chose the following four pieces of advice from amongst 40,000. So you can imagine how these four pieces of advice would be that a person chose this from amongst 40,000 pieces of advice. And this, I want to share this with the viewers of Madni channel. So number one, the piece of advice which Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi mentioned was, do not trust every woman in every matter. And the second piece of advice is that never rely on your wealth. The third piece of advice, do not overburden your stomach by overeating. And the fourth piece of advice was, do not inquire such knowledge that does not benefit you. Like information, news and stuff like this. Great, beautiful pieces of advice, Kamal Bhai.
Do you want me to comment?
I do want you to comment. If you can commentate on the first one, I would be grateful even more.
I think I'll just mention some general points, because sometimes it's very easy for viewers to think that there's some element of bias. I think when we look at the quotes of the awliya, the salihin, we have to remember that these people are not people who gave in to the desires of the evil self, the nafs. The awliya kiram are awliya, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they don't think about things like this of some kind of favoritism to any kind of to any one gender. The main advice, one of the main points of advice taken is based on a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, that from the beauty of a man's religion is that he abandons that which does not concern him. So you know, when you said about things which obviously have no concern, unnecessary things, the problem is that people are always inquiring about, asking about, discussing, getting into arguments over things which don't even concern them. So it might even be, what color has the neighbor painted his house?
And the family's fighting over it.
And they, no, that color is too bright. The other one says, no, it's too dull. No, they use the wrong type. And they're actually having this discussion. And the neighbor doesn't know what's going on. It doesn't affect the neighbor in any way. They don't really get any benefit out of it, because it's just a case of one trying to prove his point over the other. Or someone walks down the street. I've never seen this person before on our road. I wonder what he's doing. Where did he go? Where did he come from? Who is he related to? Maybe he's doing something bad. Just, you know, speculation after speculation, assumptions becoming negative assumptions. So abandoning all these things, whenever a person has a conversation, or before he has a conversation, he must think, the conversation that I'm about to have, does it concern me? Does it benefit me in any way? Is it a means of benefit in some way for the other person? If not, then usually we don't need to discuss such matters. And following on from Waseem Bhai's point, Waseem Bhai spoke about the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some clear advice given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Sayyidina Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu. The hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawud, among other books of hadith. Imam Nawawi mentions it in Riyadu Salihin. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam once said to Sayyidina Mu'az, O Mu'az, by Allah I love you, and I advise you to not miss supplicating in the following way after the prescribed prayers, the fard salah. And which dua did the Prophet tell him? Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika. Oh Allah, help me in this, that I remember you. The zikr that Waseem Bhai was talking about. Our Prophet specified in this supplication that we ask Allah to help us in this matter, that we remember him. Meaning we become lazy, we do not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the right way sometimes, or we're absent-minded in our remembrance. We're asking Allah to help us in what? In his remembrance. Shukrika. And the dua continues, and in thanking you. So, humankind, as the Quran says, mankind is ungrateful in nature. Generally speaking, we are ungrateful people, because we have thousands or countless blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing goes against our way, why did it happen?
Allah.
One thing, one matter, and sometimes that matter not going that way is actually for our benefit. And we understand that benefit few days after, a few months after, maybe a few years later, but instead of trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did it happen? So shukrika, husni ibadatik, and in this that worship you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the supplication is asking for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worshipping Allah in the best of ways, in a good way. Today we go to the masjid. I say we go to the masjid as a general comment, but people may go to the masjid and they smell, their mouth isn't clean, their body is giving off a bad odor, they've not changed their clothes, they've been working really hard and the effect of that perspiration is in their clothes. Someone standing near them is affected by that smell. By the way, to enter the masjid with foul odor is haram. So people should think about this also. But you're about to present yourself in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go to a meeting or to meet someone special or important, you're there with your clothing and making sure everything is in place, and you spent Allah knows how long in front of the mirror just making sure your hair's combed, the little hair that's left on the head for some people, making sure that the hair's all there, making sure everything is in order. They check themselves again and again, they check their breath, you know, so if they talk there's no bad smoke, all these things, and they make their way, shoes are polished, you know, really looking. And when on the other hand, going to the house of Allah, the masjid, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can't even bother to change our clothes. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us the best clothing for an individual when he goes to meet his Lord in prayer is the white clothing. So if you can, I mean, mashallah, some people, some Muslim countries have this tradition even now. They'll have a special white upper garment or jubba or something, and they'll change into it. Some people may, you see, it's a case of the Hanal by half full, the cup is half full or half empty. Some people might say, oh look, they're dressed in other clothes, and when it comes to Salah, now just quickly they're just changing their clothes for Salah. Why don't you look at it in a different, the other way? And look, for Salah, they are changing their clothes, especially for the prayer,
mashallah,
in respect of the prayer.
Mashallah.
So this is also one thing. They always look at the negative aspect. Look, you know, if you're such a good Muslim, why don't you dress like that all the time?
Mashallah.
Well, at least he is making an effort before he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something, this dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he specified this, he expresses his love for Sayyidina Mu'az, and then he advises him to read this dua after every salah. This also answers the question about praying after salah. Okay, dua after salah, this is also evidence for that as well. Allahumma a'inni ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik.
MashaAllah. Qamar, I just want to mention, you mentioned an amazing point here that, you know, today if you were going to go meet someone high up, important meeting, or you're going to meet a minister, let's say the Prime Minister for example, you know, a person puts a lot of effort, and you know, it's not only on the day, prior as well. A person's planning in advance that I'm going to meet him on this day. What suit am I going to wear? What am I going to wear? How's my hair looking? I need to go to the barbers. So all this planning is taking place. But now when he actually goes for that meeting, the person won't even recognize half of the stuff. That he's dressed up, he's taken 2-3 hours to get ready. But I just want to compare this to another point. Today you dress up and you get ready to please someone in this world. You know, there's not even any response, any comment on it. But Alhamdulillah, when you perform your wudu, now you haven't gone to the court of Allah yet. You're getting ready to go to the court of Allah. It's mentioned that when a person performs wudu, when he washes his face, the sins of his face are washed away. I mean, look at the comparison. You're going to meet someone high up in this world. There's no comment from the person. But you're going in the court of Allah, just you preparing to go in the court of Allah, you wash your face, the sins of your face are washed away. You wash your arms, the sins of your arms are washed away. You do masa of the head, your sins of your head are washed away. You wash your feet, the sins of your feet are washed away. Look at the comparison of the Ananbai, mashallah, that when you get ready to go in the court of Allah, before you say Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, your sins are wiped away, Alhamdulillah. And the other point that I'd like to mention, mashallah, Qamar Bhai touched upon the point of zikr of Allah, and we spoke about this earlier as well. One thing that I'd like to mention today, if you ask an individual, what's your ideal life, brother? What do you want in this world? And then especially, what do you want in the hereafter? What kind of life do you want? and what kind of life do you want in the hereafter? He will say to you, look, I want a peaceful life, full of blessings. I want to remain free from difficulties, problems, issues in this world. And in the hereafter, I want Jannah. I want to be successful in the questions of Munkar and Nakir. I want to enter Jannah for those in the company of the Prophet. Now what I'm going to mention is an overview of many hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One solution, inshallah. You want peace in this world, you want peace in the hereafter. For example, you are ill, you want shifa, you recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want blessings in your sustenance, recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want sukoon, recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person is in debt, you want to be free from your debt, recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want respect in this world, recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then coming towards the end of life, you want to recite the kalma at the time of death, recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of your death, recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want to be successful to the questions of Munkar and Nakir in your grave, recite Durood-e Pak. You want to have the shafaat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment, recite Durood-e Pak. You want to drink from Hawz-e Kawthar from the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recite Durood-e Pak. You want to enter Jannah, inshallah, recite Durood-e Pak. You want to see Medina to Munawwara. Seriously, this is one desire people today. I want to see Medina. Seriously, recite Durood-e Pak. You will see yourself going to Medina very soon. So a lot of our problems in this world, a lot of our comforts in this world, and a lot of our comforts in the hereafter lie in reciting Durood-e Pak. Let's recite Durood-e Pak. Inshallah, you will see many blessings in this world and in the hereafter, inshallah.
MashaAllah, my dear viewers of Madni Channel. Alhamdulillah, advice given by the Muballighin. And it's a reality. If you want to salvation, if you want to basically get out of all your problems, all your difficulties, turn towards the remembrance of Allah, turn towards the remembrance of His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will overcome all your calamities, all your difficulties, and reciting Durood-e Pak, peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the great means of this. Also, there's one thing I want to mention. Sometimes advice can be given indirectly as well, and there's a very beautiful incident of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And I wanted to share with the viewers of Madni Channel is that Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein radiallahu, they find a person who is performing wudu and he's making mistakes. Now Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, they don't directly advise him that he's making mistake or he's leaving a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that wudu. What they do is they go to the person and they say to him, you know, watch us both do wudu, and if we see which one wudu is better. Now they both perform their wudu, and the person realizes that it's not them who are making any mistake, it was I who was the one who was missing out on the sunnah of the Prophet. This was the method, the way that the great grandsons of the Prophet they advised a person. And alhamdulillah, my dear Islam brothers and viewers, when we are giving advice, try to give advice in a gentle way, in a way that the person is not hurt by. Sometimes when the person is giving advice, although that we might be giving a good piece of advice, but the way we are giving that advice, it can have a wrong effect. It might be harsh. Sometimes when we, especially when we're giving advice to our children, it's like a harshness. If we sat down and gently and with soft voice explained it to them and you know, told them in that way, maybe they would have listened. But because of our harsh nature, because of our harsh way, they, instead of that advice affecting them, it would have a negative effect.
Well, just on this aspect, when we're giving advice or obtaining advice from anybody, we have to be sincere in what we say, not just for the sake of saying, you know, to get rid of a person. Because when, if we are sincere about giving advice to somebody, we're going to look at the benefit for that person in this world and hereafter as well. So we need to ponder upon this. Imam Ghazali beautifully mentions that all people are dead, alive are those who have knowledge, and those who have knowledge are asleep. Awake are those who are act upon the knowledge, and those who act upon the knowledge are still losing out, except those who have sincerity. And those who have sincerity in their actions are in danger, except those who have fear of Allah's jinn. Now, you know, this is something to ponder upon, that when we do something, are we sincere in what we're doing, or are we doing something just to show to other people that we are doing this? And if we are doing this just for show, then it defeats the purpose. then there's no point in doing it, because there's punishment waiting for us on that aspect. But if we are sincere in our actions and giving our advice for sincerity for the benefit or for the hereafter, then inshallah that'll be successful.
MashaAllah. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madhya Channel, advise me. This was our topic today, alhamdulillah. So many different things have been covered in this. There's actually a piece of advice. Actually, there's many pieces of advice you can say. Alhamdulillah, we should try, first of all, you find that the awliya, Allah, their method of giving advice and their company is a great means of seeking advice. Alhamdulillah, you find that our Shaykh Tariqat, Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawud Islami, Hazrat Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Qadri Damat Barakatuhu Aliyah, he gives so much different advices to us in different ways, whether it's related to our health, whether it's related to our bodies, our spiritual insides, and so many the diseases and the illnesses which we are going through. There's advices on things which are related to our iman. All these pieces of advice, alhamdulillah, our Shaykh al-Tariqat, Amil al-Sunnah, Dawat Barakatuhu Aliyah, he is constantly giving this advice. And it's a humble request, the viewers of Madni Channel, every Saturday, Shaykh al-Tariqat, Amil al-Sunnah, Dawat Barakatuhu Aliyah, he blesses us with these advices through Madni Channel and Madni Muzakara. It's a humble request that we all try to tune into this, inshallah. You will find those pieces of advice which you have probably never heard in your entire life. Alhamdulillah, in that couple of hours, alhamdulillah, the pieces of advice which Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu Aliyah, they are combined from different books, from different experience of his life, and inshallah, they are very effective. This is why you find that today a father cannot change his two or three children, but alhamdulillah, azzawajal, the advice is given by our Shaykh al-Tariqat, Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhu Aliyah, has changed the lives of millions throughout the world, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So, my dear Islam brothers, inshallah, we're coming towards the end of our Islam. Inshallah, we'll take a final few pieces of advice as well. Ji, Kamar bhai, inshallah, as well, some final piece of advice for the views of Madhi Channel.
I think the difficult thing for us has been which aspect of advice we share. Some things obviously are directly related to our everyday living. One of them, for example, is the advice that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave regarding our neighbors, for example, and the famous hadith where he expressed that Sayyidina Jibril spoke about the neighbors to such an extent that he felt that the neighbors would become inheritors.
Allah.
That's how much he expressed the right of the neighbors, or the significance of the neighbors, the importance of neighbors. And in one particular hadith, we are actually instructed to add more water to the broth, or as we say, our salan, you know, the shorba that we make. Because when I say broth, there'll still be some people that say, what does he mean broth?
Allah.
But, so you'll understand salan, or you'll understand shorba, whatever.
It's good that you explained it.
Yeah, so adding more water to it, and then obviously so that it increases what you cook, and you present that to your neighbor. See, it actually mentions with courtesy. Some people, I know obviously the pandemic days now, there'll be less of this, but in the past it may have been the case, knock on the door, and the door is opened by the neighbor, and he's standing there with a plate from 44. You know, it's like a robot, you know, from 44. So you have to do it with some kind of courtesy. It's like, you know, I didn't want to give it to you, and now that's the kind of the facial expression. So you have a smile on your face and you say, please accept.
I think just can I clarify that 44 as well, it's just a door number.
Okay, I don't want to say, those who know, they know, but I use that on purpose. I don't know anyone else off the top of my head who lives in number 44. Nothing to do with number 44. Okay. But anyway, so do it in a good way. Don't, you know, there's another expression that people use. Obviously, when you're going to do something good, do it right. Don't half do it or do it half-heartedly. And another element which I'd like to add is salam. Give salam to the Prophet specified this when he was asked which actions are the best actions of Islam. He said, feed the people.
Allah Akbar.
And give salam whether you know the person or you don't know the person. So even when you go home, that beautiful echoing sound of salam, when the children come home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and you don't realize how the powerful feeling that creates within the household. It's only sometimes when the children are not home and it's all quiet, and you kind of miss that when they come back from school or madrasa or wherever, and as soon as they come in, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And especially when you reflect upon the meaning, and our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that it's a means of barakah for the household. The problem is, when we set foot without saying bismillah or any dua or any salam, as soon as we come, why isn't the food ready yet? Why is there so much mess? What are you doing there? What are you doing? You know, straight into that negativity. And it's not just the fathers, it could be the mothers sometimes, it could be an older brother or a sister. So when you come in, come bring positivity, leave shaitan outside, leave the devil outside, give salam, spread salam, feed people. One of the most effective ways of bringing people to Islam is to feed people. Muslims are known for the generosity around the world. Historically, traditionally, we have always been people who have express generosity by sharing our food with those around us, and it has led to many embracing Islam.
MashaAllah, beautiful pieces of advice from Kamar Bhai. Although the number 44 came in the middle, but it was good pieces of advice, alhamdulillah. And really, it's a time we should be concerning for the people around us. With the pandemic, a lot of people are in difficulty. Try to spread love in this time, and give, if you can, try to share your food with, alhamdulillah, this was a beautiful piece of advice.
Mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, we see that the Muslims have been doing this for a very long period of time. Although a lot of people would do such pacific action like this, giving food in the month of Ramadan, when they've made things for iftari and the food is given out. But here in this difficult time, one should be sharing food like this, giving food, and also giving salam as well. Inshallah, this will bring a blessing in our environment as well, inshallah.
In regards to the final Madini pool that I'd like to mention, now, our day-to-day activities, we do a lot of things on habit and everything like that. But there's one thing that we miss out on, and it's coming out in narrations and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, that whichever thing Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is recited prior, Allah will bless that particular thing, inshallah. Now today we are starting our business, we're going home, we're about to eat, but we forget to recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is such a powerful wazifa that once you recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, first of all, 76,000 good deeds you get. 76,000 of your sins are forgiven. And alhamdulillah, your rank is elevated by 76,000 times. That is just by reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim once. So we should try to form this habit that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we are about to watch something, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We are about to start the car, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We are about to open the door, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And we should try to get our children into this habit as well. And there's one hadith as well, that it's mentioned that once two Satans they met. One was a fat one and one was a skinny one. The fat one said to the skinny one that, listen, what's the reason that you're so skinny? You're so weak. The skinny one, the weak one, he goes, listen, I am such an individual that before he starts any action, he recites Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So that's why I cannot participate in his work. But the skinny one, he asked the fat one, listen, how come you're so fat? What's the reason that you are so healthy? What's the reason behind this? And he goes, look, I am such an individual that before eating, before drinking, before entering his home, he did not recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So I participate in every of his action. So this shows us, Abdul Hanan Bhai, that before doing any action at all, if we want blessings in the action, inshallah, azawajal, you recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, inshallah, there will be blessings. And at the same time, reward as well. 76,000 good deeds. You just read, how long does it take you? 2-3 seconds maximum. But 76,000 good deeds. And these good deeds, we will truly understand the value of them on that day of judgment. On that day of judgment, when the scale of deeds will be open, at that time, we will truly understand the value of good deeds. So today, whilst we've got this chance, whilst we've got this opportunity, recite, do the dhikr of Allah, and before you start any permissible action, inshallah, recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
MashaAllah, great piece of advice from Wasim Bhai regarding reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And truly, the blessings of Bismillah are so unique, alhamdulillah. So my dear Islam, before any righteous action, get into this habit. of reciting Bismillah. And inshallah, you'll find so much blessings in your sustenance, so much blessings in your home, inshallah. And you know, one can recite Bismillah before every good action, any permissible action. For an example, he's switching on the light, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He's closing the door, he's opening the door, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. All these little actions which we do in our home, and you're saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah, all the reward is there, the blessing is there from all this, inshallah. We'll take Shahid Bhai's final Madani pool, inshallah. Ji Shahid Bhai, what advice would you give finally, inshallah?
The advice I'll give you is, whenever you do anything, be thankful and grateful for the blessings Allah Almighty has bestowed upon us. If you look at those people who are blind, you know, they can't see anything. What a blessing we have of our eyes. And, you know, how we utilize our eyes. We should be looking at the Quran, reading the Quran. Our ears, the blessings of the ears, those people who can't hear, we should be utilizing our ears for listening to the nasiris, listening to the Quran. The hands we have, you know, the blessing of the hands. If we just, you know, hide our thumb like this and try to pick a cup up, you know, it's impossible. Right? The great blessing just in a thumb we have. So we should be grateful for these blessings which we have from Allah Almighty and use these in the right way rather than in the wrong way.
Inshallah.
Because those people who don't have these, they are, you know, they would do anything to have these blessings. And yet we have them, why not utilize them in the proper way?
These were the final piece of advice from Shahid Bhai. We've come to the end of our silsila. These advices, my dear Islam brothers and viewers, take these pieces of advices and try to live our lives according to the pieces of advices which we get through Madani channel, to the ways of the pious people, which are written and combined in different books, alhamdulillah. I would advise you, final piece of advice, there are so many beautiful pieces of advice written in the literature, which is written by Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatum in his works, Fazane Sunnat, in Ghibat Ki Tabakari, and many other works of his. So go through these books and you'll find many pieces of advice. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon the piece of advice which I've given. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam.
The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah.